Sunday morning, and we got a very special podcast for you today. We got a room filled. We got a room filled with the smells of bacon. We have a room filled with
grapes.
Lone Gull coffee.
There's something over there, some bundt cake that no one touched.
Some kind of cherry strudel or something.
Cherry strudel that I'll probably dig into in probably 20 minutes or so. Brothers Brew Donuts. Brother-in-law Barry's here. Sister Felicia's here. Donna Artizzoni's here. Alicia Cox is here. And last but not least, Nicole Schraft is here. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, guys.
Hello. Hello.
I think this is the most people we've had on a podcast yet. And six.
So that's pretty impressive.
Including the host.
Counting for us.
Yeah. So I was going to say, Alicia, you're so far away from the mic, make sure you speak up because you're so loud. Exactly. It's not going to be a problem, Alicia.
She has the best media voice, Alicia.
Alicia, is it Alicia DeWolf or Alicia Cox?
It's Alicia DeWolf. Yeah.
I mean, I've known you forever, I feel like, all your different Twitter handle, everything is different.
It stems from my Facebook, because my Facebook is Alicia Cox. Okay. So when I connect my Facebook to Good Morning Gloucester, it comes up as Alicia Cox.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I know.
We have a lot of Coxes associated with associated with Good Morning Gloucester.
Of course,
we have a lot of.
If you see Donna's face,
there's our friend.
Great job.
That's
where we go.
30 seconds in, Donna's in the house. He's right down the toilet.
We have David Cox, official contributor. Melissa Cox, good friend of the blog.
Yep.
Alicia Cox, the Wolf, good friend of the blog. Any other Coxes?
She is? That's not anymore. I've been banned. No, so we have pictures of the best Coxes.
Going further down the drain.
Well, I was talking about David and Melissa and myself. We have tons of pictures of Coxes.
Oh, from your
own. That's a lot of Cox. That's a lot of Cox.
We always say it's a lot of Cox in one room.
Oh, for the love of Mary.
There's a lot of Cox.
Barry, how are you doing over there?
I'm blessing myself right now.
St. Barry's moving back into the corner.
So, life post Mamie's Kitchen. Alicia and her husband, Chris, had Mamie's Kitchen, which was...
I miss it.
World's greatest coffee. Yes. Not in town. World's greatest coffee rolls. I miss my Friday, $5 Friday burgers over there.
Chicken salad.
And the Scratch Kitchen, all the awesome food we used to go over for breakfast in the winter. I don't get to go out anywhere for breakfast this time of year.
Sweet potato hash, if we have to hear your husband talk about
it. If I have to hear that one more time about people asking to make sweet potato hash, and... He's going to.
Because there are
so many people
that
want it. So he's going to for himself because he wants to freeze it, and he's just going to give it to people.
So what? So what's life like post Mamie's Kitchen for you?
Amazing.
Yeah.
No, it really, because we got so busy. You know, I've never seen my son's football game.
Yeah.
So I've actually been able to go to all his football games. I haven't really been able to do anything that involved my children. So now I can really focus on that and cook for enjoyment. That's why I opened a restaurant, because we cook so much. And now I cook so much, I wasn't enjoying it anymore. Yeah. So now I cook like Sister Felicia at home.
Cook for fun.
That's all I do. I will sit in my kitchen for 9 hours and cook.
That's awesome. Well, I'll be right over.
It's my hobby. And that's what I do. People right.
Well, thanks for being selfish. Thanks for being selfish. And the rest of us suffer.
Yes, I loved your omelets.
Yeah, no, she got great, great food.
Yeah, we actually closed 3 years to the day we opened.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very had to make a decision. Yeah. We both worked full time.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to, one of us either had to quit our job and do that, but it was bigger than us, and we just didn't want to.
And it's a rough business.
It's tough.
Restaurant business, I always say, is the toughest thing. There's so much to account for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much, like all the different ingredients, having to be fresh all the time, not too much, not too little,
why we're at the store 7 days a week, because everything's fresh all the time.
Including the customers sometimes.
Donna was one of the freshest.
How about Brian O'Connor?
I can say whatever I want about Brian.
Yeah.
Right.
Brian feels like he could say anything he wants about anyone else.
He wanted a cheeseburger, hamburgers, didn't want the cheese. and then we'd have to dock 50 cents for no cheese or whatever. And then he would ask if we had gray meat. He goes, I just want gray meat. And he gave gray meat
Friday.
Yeah, but we had a caller ID, so they all, after a while, knew who he was. But he would try to do whatever he could to
anyone. What was the thing that your husband's aunt used to make that I used to love? She had some. It was her kind of, was it a soup?
She made coivis? No, was it a soup? Was it, what was it?
I forget.
She had some,
there was something that, it was her recipe. And
the beef stew?
It might have been the beef stew.
I mean,
yeah, I think it was the beef stew. Very good.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, so, well, you know, but this, we're still one of these towns that is unlike so many other towns that don't have as many good breakfast places.
I love
as
George's.
Well. George's is great. Fort Square Cafe.
I went to Fort Square for the first
awesome.
Time. And one weekend, I went out to breakfast five times to all different places in the summer.
What were the five before. That you went to?
Went to George's,
yep.
which I had really never. Fort Square,
yep.
Sugar Mag's,
yep.
Morning Glory, and
Two Sisters.
Yes.
Two. Oh, that's good.
So.
Did you get the hash, the hollandaise with the one that Craig Kimberly put on the board?
No, I'm an omelet person. Ah. So I got
I
want to
try the Fort Cafe. I always say it, and we just never try.
They have a little bullseye.
I'm not a big breakfast person.
There's Rusty Shatford. The entertainment factor there is.
Oh, and they have my favorite thing in the world is New England coffee flavored, and they have that.
Speaking okay, we'll talk about a segue. Thank you for that.
Coffee,
because
cafe. Holy cow. Is that where you're going? No.
I was going to talk about pumpkin coffee, and you have it.
Yep.
You have it.
Mine's
not
a New England coffee, though.
Not me.
I'm a little girl.
The I know that people, because every time Dunkin' Donuts comes out with their pumpkin coffee, I know there are people that are waiting for that day, and then every social media site blows up with, oh my God, finally the pumpkin coffee is back. The thought of pumpkin coffee to me is revolted. Like, literally.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it. No, close to it. This week I tried it. Just to reaffirm in my mind how disgusting I think it is. Yeah, it's disgusting. The thought of... So I guess you either fall 100% all in on flavored coffees, or you're there's no in between for me.
Well, no, what kind...
Actually, no, you know, I can deal with a hazelnut. I can deal...
Cinnamon, banana coffee. We grew up with banana coffee.
It's okay. All right. You know, what I prefer when it's ice cold out, I like half hot chocolate, half coffee.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay. That's awesome sauce.
Yeah.
But
awesome sauce?
See, I can't drink that.
There's the Somerville.
Yeah, kind of
awesome sauce!
Can't have chocolate
in my Donut and Zoni! Awesome sauce! Somerville, pack your cow over here! At the Guasta Crossing!
She's
gonna have an asthma attack!
It's terrible. You know the people at Bex's who were from Nebraska asked me how to say the words correctly?
North Carolina.
So I sound like
North Carolina. Carolina.
Bex's.
Nebraska?
Not Bex's place.
Yeah, Bex's place.
Bex's.
They asked me.
They were from North Carolina.
They said, how do you really say Gloucester? And how do you say...
They asked you.
Really?
What a joke. Of all the people at the table, they asked you how to say Gloucester?
Well, they wanted to sound like
Thanks,
they
Nicole.
Were from here.
So pumpkin coffee defenders.
What brand was it that you didn't like?
Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't like Dunkin' Donuts pumpkin, but I will drink New England coffee pumpkin.
Okay, so there's a difference.
There is a difference.
Yeah, but do you like
tastes
Dunkin'
like
Donuts coffee?
To me.
Hold on, but do you like Dunkin' Donuts coffee to begin with? Take out the pumpkin.
You know something? I'm not going to say I unilaterally don't like Dunkin' Donuts coffee, but my problem with Dunkin' Donuts is they're so inconsistent, and every tenth coffee you get there has that burnt plastic taste to it. That like will it's like eating that bad pistachio that you eat that one bad pistachio that's the rotten pistachio that you never want to touch another pistachio for the rest of your life. That's how I feel like
the metaphor right there.
It's like
when you want that iced coffee in the summertime and you're in a rush and you go through Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru and you get the one that tastes like the burnt plastic, it's like the most to me. I'm not in a happy place.
Barry got a Dunkin' Donuts coffee yesterday, and we got up on the highway, and he was like, "Oh."
It's just terrible.
No, it's just like the worst.
Inconsistent, right? Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. And you're a Donkey's guy.
Absolutely.
Barry's all in on Donkey's. And
I'm trying to convert him since he's been home this last week. Trying to convert to... He's had Lone Gull iced coffee for what? Like maybe 4 days? And you're liking it.
Yeah, he's liking it.
You know what Dunkin' does too? If you ask for tea, they put the hot water through the coffee maker.
Is that true?
Yeah, so it's it tastes like coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
Wackadoodle. Just ask for hot water.
All right, Nicole. Nicole, I want to hear you defend pumpkin coffee.
I was saying a minute ago, I'm not a coffee snob anyway. A cheesy, trashy coffee is fine with me. But, and Dunkin' Donuts is just easy with the kids in the car. We fly through. We only go on Fridays and on the weekends, but, I love the pumpkin coffee, but if I could be a pain in the ass, I would say, can I just have a little bit of pumpkin? Because I can't drink the last 2 inches because it gets way too sweet.
Sugary and sweetie.
So I get it. I usually get coffee regular, or maybe milk and sugar. Mm-hmm. But when I get pumpkin, I just get it with milk, no sugar.
Do they do the syrup in the Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, I think
See,
so.
That's why I like any flavor brewed. I will not do the flavored pumps.
The sugary ones.
You would die if you had.
Because you think in the summertime, right? When you go by Dunkin's, right, and they have this sign, and McDonald's the same way for the culotta.
Yeah.
And it looks like, oh my God, that's exactly what I need right now, like a lemon slush kind of like deal, yeah. Right? But then you get it, and it's like two sips in, the sugar is just wax. Like...
Yeah. The texture, too.
You want to throw up.
Yes!
Yeah,
puke.
Well, the bottom of my coffee does that. So while I love it, I look forward to it, it's kind of like, okay, summer's over, that blows, but yay, pumpkin coffee's around, so that's cool, but it's I can't drink the end of it.
But Lone Gull, you can get pumpkin all year round, because I get pumpkin iced coffee, and then I get pumpkin chai latte. They used to only carry it and do it seasonal, but now they do it all year round.
People
so
are probably asking for it. They're catering
Christmas
to the
year,
catering to the customer.
Well, yeah. Lone Gull, I just walk in, they know how I take my tea.
They say Sister when
kids,
I go in there,
I say
Sister Felicia's tea.
Yep.
Awesome.
I couldn't
I'll have that.
There's no way I could remember it, so it's a good thing they know, because it's like there's 15 different parts to the order.
That's what happens when you go there every morning.
I know, that's it. I'm calling in sick tomorrow. We're going.
So we have to talk about, do you prefer, so when you dine in at a local coffee house, like
Cape Ann Coffee,
Pleasant
Street, Pleasant
Street, all the coffee places, do you prefer, because we have my tea ladies that we meet, my girlfriends we meet every morning, I am the only one in the group that prefers the to-go cup. For a couple of reasons, but...
Oh, even when you're dining in, you're talking...
Absolutely.
Okay, go.
Yeah. In my...
Because you're a germaphobe. Because you're scared to death that there's going to be something on.
But I think it definitely is partly germaphobe, but it also is something about the cup. Like, I have to have this cup. There's something comforting about the cup.
See, I think a big part of why Barry is a Dunkey's guy, because it's something comforting about the Dunkey's cup. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
See, there you go.
My BFF, Dee Noble, we have this every morning, we all meet for tea, and she has her tea in this, I call it the swimming pool.
Big giant.
They give you this big bowl at Lone Gull, and without fail, every single morning,
she spills it on herself?
Spills her tea. And before I sit down, I get the napkins.
You position yourself away
from
me?
No, we sit next to each other, because I don't like change. So everybody has their certain seat, everybody knows where they sit. And I clean up her tea mess every single morning without fail. And I tell her, I'm like, why do you need a to-go cup? Because you're not capable of getting the swimming pool and getting it to your mouth without it.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
Anyway, I prefer, how do you prefer yours? Do you like...
She has young children.
You have to understand. You know, I can answer this for you.
She's driving.
She's got two kids under six.
Five and seven.
All right.
So you don't even have to ask her, because she's going drive through 99 out of 100 times.
But
you got it wrong.
Yes, yeah, totally.
If you're dining in.
But I don't like to drink even at a restaurant.
Dining in, I drink out of the... I drink tea, but I still drink out of the cup. But going from my house, I have the to-go cups that I buy at the store. And I bring that with me.
The paper cups to
I have those.
Nicole, finish your thought, please.
I even at a restaurant, I don't think I, this might be like a stretch, but I don't think I've ever had a cup of coffee at breakfast in one of those restaurant mugs that I've enjoyed. So I don't have, I don't get to sit down and have
coffee because you have the kids.
So I like this. So, but if I do go out for breakfast,
to like the Greenery or wherever in Rockport, which is now the Blue Lobster, but I don't enjoy that coffee in the big, like the white mug with the handle, not because of them, but just anywhere. So I don't like coffee like that, the way Dee would drink it in a mug.
Why don't you enjoy it for that?
Because I really think I just like the coffee for it, and they can't see what we're doing, but I like to hold a hot cup of coffee. Because
they will, no one will know you have the nips in there, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about this.
You said I could put the hand motion. I was a little concerned myself.
I'm concerned about this.
I know. She kept grabbing.
Why do I come? It's like a bottle. Why do I even come it's here? Like a bottle, but it's a cup. And, yeah. You know,
no,
it's security.
No, but it is.
Like
it is.
Why is it okay for you
phallic.
To put a Barry over there in the corner? But I do it.
I'm telling Freddie must be a big guy.
Yeah.
Because she had two hands and her fingers didn't touch all around when she was doing that.
Like, I don't get myself in enough trouble. I have to sit down across from you and have a big
that's a compliment to your husband. That's all.
But I'm getting a little. There might be some psychological thing going on.
It's definitely a tactile.
It's the cup, I'm telling you. The cup. It's all about the cup.
I'll have to look up that diagnosis.
There you go. All right. Well, you would know Connor and her psychosis. So today, Nicole's with us from Rockport, and we got Paul Bruce was here earlier. He was here to talk about the playground and the Benjamin Smith Playground and the initiative
Cove
that they.
Playground. Most people know it as Cripple Cove.
Well, to be honest with you, that's actually a relatively new thing in the last 5 or 6 years. It's always been the Benjamin Smith Playground.
Really? And
yeah. We're growing up, it was Benjamin Smith. So anyway, Rockport. He brought, from Rockport,
crazy
bacon donuts. Or bacon
muffins,
because there was no hole.
That's not a muffin, it's a donut. That's donut dough. I can
there's
tell you
no hole.
It's not a muffin.
It's not a muffin. It's
a donut.
It's
almost like
a
donut.
It's
a donut. It's fried.
With maple frosting and bacon.
With maple frosting and bacon. And they're using the thick cut, not like hardcore bacon. And I had always heard about these bacon, I guess we're calling them donuts. But I had never tried one until just now.
Baseball. I'll
tell you, I don't care what they're charging for those things. If they charge you $5 for one of those things,
add bacon anything, and everybody can add things now.
It's worth it. It's every person needs to try one of those.
Unless you were here, because he brought two and Joey ate one, and the rest of us shared one.
No, I think how it went was I ate one, and then I said, "Oh yeah, cut those up for everybody else."
Yes, I think that he did say that. Yeah.
There's seven. They cut it
so
up seven.
Everybody should try one.
Just try a piece at least.
Looks like it could break a window.
They could have filled that. So they could have filled that. So you could do a filling in that. You could do a maple cream cheese filling with the bacon. Oh yeah,
and
that's
then
the
I had a quarter
of
it, and that filled.
That bacon
was
really good bacon though. Yeah. On top of it, and everything. It's
that
just
makes
I can't
even sit
next to it right now.
Like, I don't want to look at it.
Unbelievable.
It's like 3 inches high. Too. Yeah, I think it's worth noting. It's like 3 inches high, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got girth.
But you're right, and, kind of
and
heft.
You got the bacon done inside.
You're looking at it like. If you see the look on her face over there, she's looking at it out of the corner of her eye like.
I'm
she's got a lustful.
It with my two hands, yes.
Again, with the two hands.
A lot of cocks.
Yeah.
A lot of cocks. So, the reason we gathered here this morning, the reason why we had kind of a mug up here this morning was. The GMG superfan, that's what we're calling him, Dave Moore from he lives in Korea.
South Korea,
and so we get all the contributors when they get notifications when someone comments on any of our posts, you get a notification in your email that this person commented on your post. So this guy Dave comments on every single post, and if you make the mistake, I mean if you reply to him, he will. Like reply and reply and reply. He'll never let there'll never be an unless you end it. He does. There's no end to it, and he's awesome. He's like it's nice to be recognized for that. You know,
he
someone's
takes the
reading
time
your
out
post.
To give us feedback.
Yeah,
and he's always kind.
And he's always kind. So he sent three or four of the contributors, like probably 200 South Korean postcards, and some maps of South Korea because. You know, I was thinking about going on a field trip there this week, and it's a good thing we would have those maps. And he also sent us some wand. I think there's 27, EJ counted 27
wand,
which I think is worth
$27.
No, I think it's like 15 cents. No, keep going. It's like 20 cents.
Every
1,000 whatever is 98 cents.
98 cents, so it's almost a dollar.
But Dave, so we have all these posters. So we wanted to do something special for Dave. So we figured we'd get together. We don't really need any kind of more of an excuse to get together because we try to get together on the weekends. So we all came down the dock, and we had EJ, Marty Luster was here, Paul Morrison was here, everybody that's on the podcast was here. Paul Bruce joined us, and we took a group photo and to show our appreciation for Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Yep, holding up the thing is. Nicole, did you say you're going to do something with these? Because you're a teacher.
Yes, I will take whatever ones are left over. I know some of the contributors took piles already, which is awesome, but I'll take them to the classroom so the children, we have a collection of foreign currency that the kids like to look at, and they love the postcards, and they do writing assignments and geography and whatnot.
Great.
So they'll be thrilled to get them, and we'll make a thank you card, and we'll ship it off or take some pictures or something.
And I'm sure he will get back to you as well.
I'm sure he will. And so speaking of that, I think one of the, as a contributor, because of the time difference of where he is, you get his comments, or at least I get his comments when I wake up in the morning. So
because he's on South Carolina, you can see when he does his comments. It's all between 11 p.m.
and 3.
And like 3 or 4 a.m., and he comments on, we do 20 posts a day. He does 20 comments every single day, like clockwork. It's impressive.
I wake up and I, turn on the coffee maker, open the laptop, let the dogs out, get the kids their milk. And in the middle of all that, then you get the emails, and there's always one from Dave, which is nice. Yep. So
it is nice.
To wake up to Dave every morning. So
I always say
that. Wake up to Dave. I like that. Wake up to Dave at GMG.
It's a new blog.
Yeah, new blog. So
he's a nice guy, too. I mean, he's never negative.
Nope.
Never negative. We love that. But I always say that a way to let all our contributors know that people are listening is by leaving a comment. So if everybody did what Dave did, it would be really awesome.
Yeah.
We like people that send in comments. Olive Kittredge, Bex, Rebecca Borden, our buddy from up the hill, she sent me a link to the trailer for Olive Kittredge.
Awesome.
It's a 2-day miniseries, and they filmed a ton of it on Cape Ann. And they used Passports as one of the locations. They turned it into the Village Pharmacy, Lane's Cove. There's a bunch of, I don't know if it was Lane's Cove.
No,
or
Cripple, no, I'm not sure, Art Association. They had all the cars there.
Oh, is that where that
was? Yeah, that's where it was.
Oh, I mislabeled it on the blog post. Yeah, so there's a ton, so that's coming out. It's a 2-day thing. November 2nd and 3rd is when it's going to air. And I put the trailer on. Did you see any of the filming of it?
Yes,
I remember going to Passports one night, and I forget what month it was, but it was snowing.
Yeah.
They had created
big snow. Cape Pond ice
parking,
did that.
Yeah, we were parking the car and then being like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
We saw them every morning when we went for coffee, tea time.
Yep.
I saw Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
She told me to pick up my camera bag because I left it on the ground. She said, "Honey, you should really leave your camera bag on the ground." And I looked up and it was her.
Did you recognize it?
I did.
You did. From Fargo?
Yes.
Don't you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, how about you, Alicia? What? Did you see any of the filming? Did you know what even happened?
He did.
She was in her...
She saw it on Facebook.
I got a lot of business from it. Because a lot, they closed down. They had to close the downtown.
Yes, they did.
A lot of the times. So, you couldn't go down there. So, that's what I know about it.
So thank you, Bex, for sending in the link to the trailer for Olive Kittredge, and it's gonna be cool to see. 2 days though, like they did a mini series can only be 2 days. I thought a mini series would have to be like 4 days minimum, but apparently
I don't know if there's a minimum for a mini
series.
Yeah, it's on HBO too.
It's on HBO November 2nd and 3rd. I already saw Passports and I guess Pirates Lane. They did some filming
that's
there.
Not sure. Art Association,
yep. So that's going to be very exciting. And so you look for that link on the podcast. Someone just walked in, Captain Amanda Madeira. Not Madeiros, as I was corrected. And because the family, when they came over, they changed it to Madeira. The Madeira is...
Paperwork on Ellis Island, probably.
What is a Madeira? Is that a color? What is
Madeira means wood in Portuguese.
Ah, there you go. Wow, how fitting.
How fitting for
fitting.
That.
That's
Captain
cool.
Amanda Madeira.
Somebody who loves wooden schooners.
Loves wooden schooners and is here to talk about, in fact, the Ernestina, Now, why don't you give me the facts as you know them of what's going on with the Ernestina in relation to Gloucester and the Marine Railways?
Well, there is an opportunity for Gloucester. The Ernestina was named the F.E.M. Morrissey and built over in Essex in 1894, fished out of here for about 10 years. Has a remarkable history, basically. Canada, Arctic exploration, and she was gifted to the United States by the Republic of Cape Verde.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I want to bring up a point that over and over and over again, when people talk about like what should be the representative Gloucester schooner, they point to the Ernestina and the Effie Morrissey more than they point to the Adventure. This schooner is, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but from what people have told me in the past, that this schooner that you're going to talk about has an incredible amount of significance to this town and to the town of Essex than any of the other schooners that are still around. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think so. Yeah, no, okay. I think so too, because it was built for the Morrissey family. It's direct roots right here.
Yeah.
And then in top of all this, she's got so much soul on that boat and so much remarkable history on that boat. And she has all these lives, and now she has the opportunity to return to Gloucester. Since she is 120 years old, and she's been continuously sailing for the most part for all those years. And her home port is down in New Bedford, and there is a momentum to get her rebuilt again and sailing again, so she's a seaworthy ship to sail transatlantic once again, or has the capability of doing it. A philanthropist came forward and donated $3.5 million to this effort to get her going. She is also with other monies could get her sailing, and the goal is to get her refit and for Mass Maritime to use her for sail training.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a really good relationship there to keep those old ships running, mm-hmm. because they're expensive to run. So anyway, there's bidders. The bid went out, and five bidders came in with bids, and two of them are remaining. One is in East Booth Bay Shipyard, where she has had work done on her there before.
I should say, when you say there are bidders to do this work.
Bidders
right.
to do this
so
work.
So the money that is appropriated, the generous philanthropist that had $3.5 million and whatever other money that they're going to raise is going to get spent.
Right.
To get it rebuilt.
So
there was five bidders to do the work
originally.
And now it's down to two.
Now it's down to two. And Piper Boatworks, Nate Piper from New Hampshire, wants to use Maritime Gloucester as a facility to do that, which is set up to do it. The Marine Working Railway has a lot of public outreach and education facilities built into it, so it can be quite a project. And I think we're looking at a four to five year project to do the work.
Wow.
So we think that's a great idea.
How great to see that in action.
Yeah.
To be able to watch that happen in the middle of our city would be tremendous. When will they make that decision? Which
mid-October, I think. It's coming up soon.
So is there any kind of thing that Good Morning Gloucester can do, or people from the city can do, to bring awareness that is down to the two? And how are they going to pick the final place that's going to do it? And how can we, like, leverage the number of people that listen to this blog to say, please, we want it here for the historical significance and everything else?
It totally makes sense. And all we know from the bid is that public outreach is part of it, education outreach is part of it, which is huge, and we have got quite the advantage there. And there is a website to log on to for a petition to sign to get the word out, and it should be done pretty soon. The bidders are meeting next Tuesday, I think.
Okay.
This coming up Tuesday. So
we got to get this. Well, this will be, this podcast will be out tonight, so
yep.
I'll get it out as soon as possible. And
right.
So is there information on the Maritime Gloucester website about this yet?
Yes, there is, and it's there's a website, which is www.ernestina.maritimegloucester.org, which is a specific website built for this petition. So it's
www.ernestina.maritimegloucester.org.
And the information is there, and the petition is
there. Can you sign the petition now?
And you can sign the petition. I encourage people to sign it now. Sign it today. Sign it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I think
it would
be a great
Tuesday. Did you say it ends on Tuesday?
This Tuesday.
The petition is no longer.
So we're looking
so
for a really
tomorrow.
Big project here that can involve a lot of local people. There's a lot of shipwrights that have come forward, and people are interested in working on the boat, whether it's the physical rebuild, which will be done in many different phases using many different talents, using a lot of the resources that we have here, Roses and other, you know, businesses right here.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole outreach and volunteer program and education.
Very cool, very exciting. So we're going to have to put this at the top of the blog and sticky it for a couple of days to try to get this.
Yeah, that would be great.
Did you guys know that, do you know that we put that thing up for James Eves? They're looking for the grant.
Yep.
Do you know in 2 days we got all the signatures for them?
Awesome.
That's excellent. There's also a local author, Chester Brigham, who's just coming out. This is the, it's not out published yet, but it's a book that is written. She's got a lot of amazing, amazing history. This book is called Phoenix of the Seas.
What was his name?
His name is Chester Brigham, B-R-I-G-H-A-M.
Yeah.
And it goes into pretty much depth of, there's not much written, there's a lot of written with the, well, the Cape Verdean history is more recent, and there's a lot of people, that's why she was homeported in New Bedford and Gloucester, but there's, this goes into a lot of detail of the fishing years and the Arctic exploration years.
Wow.
Bob Bartlett, who sailed for Peary, used her and took kids up, like 17, 18-year-old boys, up to the Arctic for about 20 years. And they would bring back specimens to the Smithsonian Museum, and they would do all sorts of stuff. She had a stint in the Navy. So he goes into quite a little bit of detail about...
wonder if you can get that book down at the bookstore of Gloucester.
It's not published yet, but it's coming out.
How do you have a copy of it?
It's
glossy and everything.
We're previewing it.
Like, wow, I guess you are. Hey, Donna,
wow,
you get a photo of that.
Yeah, get
a photo of the cover. Is there a website for that?
Don't know that yet. I don't know.
All right, I'll look it
There's
up.
There's also, we did this, one of my best trips we did, because I was captain for about 10 years of the ship, was the Morrissey reunion. So we did a reunion with all the Morrissey family. We had about 20, about close to 30 up here out of Gloucester. We sailed up here.
Very cool stuff.
And I first met her when she was here before she was went down to New Bedford when they were trying to figure out what port to put her
when
in.
When you say, you mean the boat.
I met the boat. I saw the boat. I said,
you met her.
Never work on
the
that boat.
The pronoun is freaking
so
me out a little bit.
I met her. I was like, is it Effie? You met Effie? Who did you meet?
They changed the name.
I thought
already.
There was a person.
It's going to be
there.
Ernestina Morrissey. Because
how do you feel about that?
Well, it's hard because there's the Effie M. Morrissey.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I used to refer to her as Ernestina X. Effie M. Morrissey. Because she was built as a fishing boat when she was owned by the Cape Verdeans. They renamed her after Henrik Mende's daughter, Ernestina. So there's, how do you figure out a name that encompasses everything?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you put that on the transom of a boat, or the nameplates of a boat?
Yeah.
Ernestina Morrissey, it's...
I remember one time I had a conversation with you, and we were talking about these schooners and these schooner... You were, at the time you were doing programs with
Ocean Classroom.
Ocean Classroom,
yeah.
And Ocean Classroom. How many boats did they operate at the time?
They operated three.
Three.
And we were on the Spirit with some. We took a 5-day trip with local youth here.
Right. Sharon Lowe went out with you. It was
pouring
rain.
Pouring rain and cold. It was
cold
wonderful.
And everything. Right. Well, you know, I'm going to go off topic again. Off topic of my off topic. At the Lannan, in the Lannan office, it says no such thing as bad weather, just inappropriate clothing.
Yeah.
Right. But the point that I'm trying to make, I remember you telling me this, was like, I says, how come all these boats, how come you don't get these boats and get, you know, parents of rich kids... that their parents don't, you know, want to send them off for the summer so they can go off to,
Europe
or whatever, and charge them $20,000 a whack to take their kid and bounce around the ocean. I mean, great experience for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like such a no-brainer to me. You were telling me how much it cost to operate these vessels, and it blew my mind, like how much per day.
Yeah.
Like you think, oh, you could take out, you know, a handful of people and you could pay for the thing but
no, to keep something like that, it's not like an old house. You know how when you own a house for a while and all of a sudden you're sinking a lot of money into the house to keep it up, and a boat is constantly working, it's out in the weather.
Well,
it's the same kind of ongoing maintenance to keep it going.
But there's also dockage.
There's dockage, the expense.
The painting, salt water eats up everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wooden boat.
Right. And you want it Coast Guard certified because you're
And then his insurances now are not probably what they were 20 years ago.
Right.
They've probably grown exponentially
right.
along with every other insurance that you could possibly
have. And it's a risky business.
Yeah.
When you're out, I mean, you know it very well because you're out, going out
I'm not
to
sea, but yeah. My boat's
yeah, yeah. You're
over the dock. It's very risky here, Captain Jones. Very risky.
You're in touch with a lot of people that are out there. So
yes.
It is a pretty thing. And it's scary for parents to get their kids.
Of course.
You know? But it's one of the best things.
Sign mine up.
I think it would be the coolest thing ever.
Outward Bound.
I'm not a fan.
What is it? It's really authentic. It's an authentic experience that you can't get anywhere else because you're dictated by the weather and you're dictated by your mission and things happen. You're in this enclosed environment, which is your own little universe with 30 people,
mm-hmm.
which is your own community. It's like your own society.
Doesn't the Spirit of Bermuda, every Bermudian kid go on the Spirit of Bermuda?
Yep, they do day sails out of there with the...
Same thing with the Thomas Lennon, right?
Fifth
Lennon.
Fifth graders all go out on the Lennon. Ardell, we take all the third, fourth, and fifth graders out there twice a year.
That's
so
amazing.
It's really great for the youth because it's becoming, you know, it's pretty amazing Gloucester Harbor having that experience to get kids right out on the water in sailing vessels too.
Yeah.
And sailing platforms where you can actually do stuff.
I think... for all, like, you know, the screaming about anti-development, I think there's more opportunity to get kids out on the water now than there was, you know, in 10, 15 years ago. There's the dories.
Okay. Yep.
There's the GHS and is the YMCA still operate the sailing
YMCA.
Program?
Yeah.
You got Maritime Gloucester.
You got the sailing club.
You got the Thomas Land. You got the Ardell. There's the programming that they have at Maritime Gloucester now is there's more programming going on there than there ever was.
And all the kids sailing.
Yeah. You know what the best thing is to be able to look at the harbor from the water, and it's built such as a deep water port, which should be taken advantage of. So we were taking out the fourth graders this past couple of weeks, and we'd sail right by the Birdseye place, and I'd have a conversation with the fourth graders, and it was kind of insightful with their, you know, what do you think about that? Well, it's being torn down, and my father can get a job there if something else news, and some of them say, no, I don't think it should change much, but watching from the water perspective
mm-hmm.
of the city and how that changes is pretty cool. And mm-hmm. apparently somebody was saying about the hotel height and wondering whether that would block view to certain landmarks, which are on the Coast Guard charts, like City Hall
mm-hmm.
is on there for navigational aid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool, and having all the kids pick out all the stuff on land mm-hmm. from the perspective
of
somebody
at
sea is a great learning. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting how many children don't have that opportunity. I think you think that because of where we live, all children are on the water
right.
often. And I teach up in Beverly, but so many of my students don't have that opportunity. We do that 2-week summer session, and we try to get them onto as many different types of vessels
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
get them to get some hand-on experience with not only like the marine life, but also the maritime history. And
industry
so many of them
too.
Haven't had any of that prior to the session. So
even kayaking,
so
you see that.
Right. Right.
You know, looks very different from the water than it does from the land.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, going back to the Ernestina being up here, is she's just a great platform learning. There's a ton of stuff, curriculum already
it's
written,
amazing.
And, you know, things that are, it's such a no-brainer for making that relationship to the history of Gloucester.
Oh, we'll put a link to the to that website where they can vote and send in their plea to have the work done here where it rightfully should be.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
And thanks
right.
for coming down.
My best thing was when we were running in the Gloucester Schooner Race, I think it was 2002, and there was no wind, as typical. And the tide was going out, and we were trying to cross the starting line. So I said, let's launch the dories and tow her. So we got two dories out, towed the Ernestina across the starting line.
That's funny. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What boat was that?
That was the Ernestina.
That was the Ernestina.
Ernestina, yeah.
Very cool.
And then one other photograph I have, it's I was doing a lot of black and white photography, and I have a shot of the Ernestina, the Letty G. Howard, and the Lannan leaving Gloucester Harbor, all three in a row, and it's they're all Essex built boats.
Yeah,
what,
great to
what
see.
Is the what? I remember a couple of years ago, I had some friends from New York City that were involved with the Letty G,
right.
And they were really down. They were really disappointed because this place that it had been, it had
South
been
Street Seaport.
South Street Seaport.
Yeah.
Whereas they said it would. This is it. They couldn't make a go of it with the ship, and they were trying to, I don't know if they were trying to give it away or whatever, but they had no takers for it, and they were really, or or something. Do you know what ever happened with it?
I do know what happened with it. She was out of commission for a little bit and then rebounded and is owned and operated by the Harbor School down in New York City, so she's fully operational.
Oh, nice.
She's like a Fredonia type schooner, a miniature model of the Ernestina.
Oh,
it's
wow.
The same layout and same,
there you
same
go.
Integrity.
That's great. I wonder if they have a website. But
yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Well,
we'll put a link to that,
but
too.
But it's great to watch the number. You look around the harbor right now, there's the Adventure, mm-hmm. the Highlander Sea, which unfortunately is tied up still for sale for an exorbitant amount of money. But as an Essex-built boat, she was the pilot, mm-hmm. and the Thomas Lennon, and the Ardell. You know, we need more schooners in here. So
I will tell you right now, it is so, like, you know, and I know you love just the wooden boats, but, like, I love all marine activity. So in this past summer, like,
awesome.
You know, from our vantage point, way down in the South Channel, looking out down the harbor, and you see all day long, mm-hmm. the schooners, you know, all of them going back and forth,
yeah.
and then the Beauport Princess
yep.
going out and making that loop, and it's just
it's awesome.
Every activity, you know, and it's been.
They work well in numbers.
They really do. And,
and the Schooner Festival, to me, is
right.
like being back in the 1800s.
It's
right.
fantastic.
And just in the middle of sales everywhere.
Right.
It's just
yeah.
beautiful.
Well, it's great watching what the Lannan and the Ardell are doing now, because they're both two different businesses. But if you're a passenger on one of the boats
yes.
and you're sailing around by yourself, that's one thing. But if you're a passenger on one of the boats and you're sailing around and
you
you're
see.
Playing around with this
yeah.
other
yeah.
schooner that was built by the same builder,
it's fabulous.
It's,
yeah.
it's great.
Yeah, and
so it makes it much more rich.
They also have those the kind of like the mock races or whatever
yep.
they have,
mm-hmm.
and they do a lot. I'm really happy that they work together so well.
And they're so beautiful. You see them at the same time, just
right.
crossing each other.
Right.
Just
I always say, you know, I think I must have mentioned it 20, 50 times on the blog. Like, whenever someone says, "What's the number one thing a visitor should do in this town?" My response is always. Go on. I say the Lannan because I love the. I really love those people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Lannan or the Ardell, they're beautiful, beautiful vessels,
yes.
and I don't think there's a better way to see Gloucester
yeah,
Harbor.
Out on the water.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's amazing that
yeah.
people that haven't really experienced the boat. Or
and I appreciate that those people put their own asses on the line, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
financially, and so I'd like to see them do well because
yeah.
they're a business model and I like to see them rewarded for their hard work
absolutely.
And stuff.
And it is very exciting to be really sailing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not with the engine, you're just sailing.
Right, and you never know what it's going to be. When
yeah.
you
yeah.
go in.
So, Captain Amanda, thanks for coming down.
Hey, you're welcome.
And we're going to put the links to on the blog and the best of luck. And we'll
great.
I'm sure we'll be reporting the results when they come out.
Let's cross our
fingers. Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, that was awesome with Captain Amanda.
Thank you.
So we have some events. I had my girls this past weekend, and we went to Connor's Farm, which I thought was the best move ever because I'm so tired of. I mean, God bless the people that run Tobsfield Fair and everything like that. But like, after going there 30 times,
nothing changes.
There's not, it's just like, I remember the last four times I've gone to Tobsfield Fair saying, if I really need to space this out 10 years in between my next visit. But there's all this there's all these new little farms that have made these destinations for,
mm-hmm.
especially for children and their families. So Connor's Farm in Tobsfield, it's like $10 to get in, and they have the most awesome stuff. And it doesn't involve carnies, which is
yeah,
the best part
right,
of it.
Yeah.
You know,
Danvers. Sorry.
Is it officially
Danvers?
Danvers?
Just in case people are looking for it, that's all.
Oh, okay, thank you.
In Danvers.
Danvers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
Danvers Tosfield line.
Yeah, it
whatever.
Is on the line.
Off of 97.
Yeah, totally.
You can get there. If you go North Beverly exit toward 97 and it's like one left and you're solid. So anyway, so they have these you could buy for $10. You get 15 apples they have these monstrous slingshots and you try to hit the targets.
That's awesome.
Right? Then they give you nine apples that they shoot out of the potato cannon. I guess it'll be
yep.
an apple cannon. And three pumpkins that you shoot out of the pumpkin howitzer. And there's like 150 yards on the opposite side of this field, they have this pickup truck and it launches the pumpkin The whole thing, all the windows are smashed out. It's a mess. There's like pumpkin shrapnel everywhere.
Good mulch pile.
The kickback on these cannons is
the kids' like brain is gonna explode. They're so fired. they get the control when you know the launching sequence and
sounds
everything.
Sounds a little dangerous.
Oddly enough.
Well, the thing that was dangerous. Did we talk about the? Are you saying it's dangerous? Because I talked about this earlier.
Just talking about it. It sounds really dangerous.
Well, the guy that's loading up the potato cannon is bananas because he's like the mouth of the thing after he stuffs it in with the pole, the apple down the barrel of the potato cannon, it's on like a pivot thing. And it goes right by his face every time. And my kid's hands, fingers is on the trigger.
The thing is launching.
The kids press the button and it's powered air, like compressed air that shoots this thing at 7,000 miles an hour. The apples disintegrate in the air because there's so much force, and the guy's head is passing by his face. I'm like, has no one given this guy any training at all? It's like the guy that's cleaning his gun and he keeps the shells in the gun shoots himself inevitably.
It's like Bugs Bunny.
I'm horrified the whole time. Like,
my kid who does it. I didn't say anything.
My heart was in my... No, it wasn't potatoes. Apples or pumpkins. But yeah. No, great take though.
Oh yeah.
And if I had the camera going when the guy's head got blown off, could you imagine how viral that video would have gone?
Did you do the corn maze?
I have to do the corn maze.
The corn maze is so much fun.
The cider donuts.
That's why Cornish Farm is great because they have so many different things. You know, like you can go spend... We went... Thatcher went to a Patriots game one day and I took just Finn and we were there for like 9 hours but there's so many different activities and we went back the next weekend with
isn't that where someone called 911 last year because they couldn't get out of the maze?
I think that might have been a different one, but
I wonder if that's a setup. I wonder if that's a setup to get publicity for the place, because it would be a brilliant setup there.
I guess they had a 3-month-old baby or something.
I think that was Marini's farm. That was down the street because they have a corn maze as well.
I know, I've been to that.
Yeah, that one's fun and that has awesome vegetables.
Fall fun, fall family,
fall fun. Get lost in your corn maze. Watch the carny's head get blown off with a pumpkin. Nothing better than that.
Life in New England.
Nothing better. That's all Americana right there.
Good time.
What's fall without some carny's head getting blown off by a
pumpkin
can?
Coffee and carny heads.
I'd rather go get wine at Russell's Orchard.
They have wine at Russell's Orchard?
Oh, so good.
They make it right now.
They make their own wine at Russell's Orchard.
Really?
It's amazing.
Yeah, you go pick apples and you can buy wine.
Did you know that Daisy's Nell's daughter is
Miranda?
She's a Russell. She's like related to the Russell's Orchards.
I like Russell's.
I always said growing up I would marry somebody who ran an orchard. I always thought it didn't happen. But I always thought that was a good inn. Marry into a...
You knew the guy? Did you know the guy?
I didn't know who they are at all. No.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Miranda?
Miranda.
Do you know she married the guy from Russell Orchard?
I did, yeah. I worked there part-time. One season, it was the best job and like the best thing ever. And now our kids actually go to school together. Oh. Obsessed with their cider donuts, obsessed with their wine, obsessed. I'm there once a week.
So you're 12 years old pounding down cider wine?
I'm 12 years old. No, I actually just worked there 4 years ago for it. I called it retirement. I went from working full time to part time. And I went and worked 10 to 2 while the kids were in school. And I went there, and it was the best job of my whole entire life. And I loved it, and it's so great. I love it, and that's why I'm there so much.
I like Russell's.
I love it.
We go there, pick the apples.
Is it Russell's or Russell? Because you put a double S on Russell. The end of everything. Coxes.
You know why? Because everything's possessive to me.
It's Russell. I still call it Good Deal. It's not Russell.
Of course it's Russell.
It'll always be Good Deals to me.
Somerville! Out of Zoni.
How do you say Russell's with no
Russell's Orchards? Over there. We got it.
Poor Donna.
Get your apple cider donuts. They're awesome.
I sound like I must be about 6 feet tall.
Donna,
a good
Zoni.
5'1½".
5'1½". That's right, Donna. That's right. So anyway. Alicia, you wanted to talk about something that's coming up, a great community thing.
The YMCA Taste of Cape Ann. It's the most amazing thing ever that happens every year. And it's only $25 a ticket. And the proceeds help the YMCA Teen Center. And the kids from the Teen Center, they do their yearly trips to
New Orleans.
Yep. And it benefits that. So for $25 a ticket, you can sample as much as you want from pretty much
every restaurant in town donates food for this.
And it's at Cruiseport.
And it's at Cruiseport, yeah. So it's 6 to 9 on Thursday. And then also you can taste wines and...
it all comes back to the wine for at least the theme here.
And Bob Ryan is always there. Ryan Distilleries is always there. And he is always sampling his gins and his vodkas and such. So it's awesome. And his whiskey.
She's taking my hat. See, I'm feeling better.
You feel better about yourself. Talking about Cox's.
Nice.
Talking about the coffee cup like this.
Very disturbing.
I should get the, I should do a little vine with her going like this. It would be probably the most looped vine in the history of vine.
Loopy.
It is.
It's this Thursday night, though.
Yeah, at
Benefit.
Cruiseport.
Great thing. Once again, awesome. Cruiseport opens their doors and another giveaway, something that, you know, people railed against. And, terrible, because it can't coexist. This really cannot happen next to Rose's Marine, and it couldn't happen next to the freezer, and they couldn't possibly pump herring there, and they couldn't have any marine activity in front of a place that has food or weddings, because they can't coexist. They must have riots every day there. They really must have riots, because they can't coexist. Just like Fisherman's Wharf, really, it's an aberration. The Gloucester House is not next to that.
No.
Because you can't have a restaurant over pilings next to a place where they offload fish. It never happened. Riots in the street. Horrible.
Okay, Bamboo.
Dogs living
four
with
lives.
Cats.
All rad 43.
Four lives in 43.
And yesterday, Cruiseport opened their doors to give donate blood.
That's right.
Yep,
what's that?
They yesterday, they donated blood at Cruiseport.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff they do there.
You're right, though.
Open Bowl. The Art Haven Buoy Auction.
Buoy Auction.
Oh, that's you said buoy, right?
Did I say that?
No, what do you think booty, I said? Right? I heard you wrong for a second.
What's your mind going? Alcohol or penis? What is it? It's one of two things with you. Jesus, Nicole. Anyway, so
you should have said not for nothing.
That's your line, Alicia. Yeah. Not for nothing. Oh Lord,
oh my
where
God.
Does this thing go? We're just under an hour. All right, we're gonna wrap this thing up right now. For all my good peeps, this is the largest group of podcast people we ever have. We lost half of our group halfway through because they couldn't hang out. But for Captain Amanda, thanks for coming down, talking about the Effie Morrissey, Ernestina //. It's got to get that going. Donna Artizzoni, Nicole Schraft, Alicia Cox, The Wolf, Felicia and Barry were here earlier. Who else was here earlier?
Bob Morrison. Well,
no.
No, not for that.
So
anyway.
So Amanda makes seven.
Amanda makes
seven in the podcast.
It's a record.
Yeah.
Thanks. Awesome. Another Gloucester cast in the books.
Yay.